Constantine reviews its waste management and reclamation plans for the Palmer Project with the Haynesboro Assembly. And the Columbia breaks down en route from Sitka to Petersburg. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories are up next. Representatives from Constantine Metal Resources met with the Haynesboro Assembly on Tuesday to answer questions about the Palmer Project, a mineral exploration site in the Chilkat Valley. Recently, the company completed a waste management permit application and a reclamation plan for its second phase of exploration. At the meeting Tuesday, Liz Cornejo, Constantine's Vice President of Community and External Affairs, gave an overview of the plans for the second phase of exploration at the Palmer Project.
Moving forward, we are looking to transition into a phase of underground exploration.
Constantine plans to excavate a 2,000-meter underground ramp to provide easier access to the main mineral deposit at the Palmer Project.
Also, having underground access would allow us to do year-round work. Currently, most of our work is in the summertime. The drilling is in the summertime.
Excavation for the ramp will require removing over 100,000 tons of rock. The company has proposed to use some of the waste rock for construction purposes and store the rest above ground in stockpiles. In response to concerns about the possibility of unearthing acid-generating rock, Cornejo explained that the site has a high ratio of acid-neutralizing minerals to potentially acid-generating minerals. According to Constantine, all the samples they have taken so far contain more than twice as many basic minerals as acidic minerals.
If any potentially acid-generating rock is encountered, that rock will all be placed back underground at closure, so nothing would be left on surface that would be acid-generating.
Part of Constantine's waste management plan for the second phase of exploration involves treating water that has seeped into the proposed underground ramp. This seepage would come in contact with wall rock and explosive residue. The company has proposed developing two settling ponds to treat seepage water before discharging it to the surrounding environment through a diffusing system. This was a concern for Assemblymember Heather Lendy.
What happens there? With the water that comes out of the ponds and with the water that comes out of the pipes that goes through those filter systems. I mean, is there a way that that's going to be filtered out so it doesn't end up in the creeks, or particularly in Glacier Creek and run down into the Klahini?
Jack DeMarchi, a consultant for the Palmer Project, responded that the seepage water will be discharged 10 feet underground, but 20 feet above the water table. He also said that nearby creeks flow on the surface above the water table, but he did acknowledge that water flows downhill and eventually connects downstream.
You know, we all have to agree that all water eventually goes down gradient and connects up and flows downstream.
Constantine will monitor the chemistry of the groundwater. Cornejo said that the Department of Environmental Conservation has set trigger limits for certain minerals and chemicals in the groundwater.
And those trigger limits are really set around natural conditions. And so we've collected water samples of the surface water and the groundwater, and DEC has used those to establish their trigger limits.
However, Constantine's waste management permit application states that levels of dissolved aluminum, manganese, and vanadium in discharged seepage water are expected to exceed Alaska water quality guidelines. The Department of Natural Resources, or DNR, is currently accepting public comments on Constantine's waste management and reclamation plans. Kyle Mussell, with DNR's large mine permitting team, says he has received 7 comments so far. Several have requested an extension of the public comment period. The deadline to submit comments is May 15th. The State Ferry Columbia broke down en route from Sitka to Petersburg Tuesday night, leaving passengers stranded in Juneau while the Department of Transportation worked to diagnose the vessel's problems. Meadow Bailey is the communications director for the Alaska Department of Transportation. She says last night around 9 o'clock, the Columbia was traveling southbound from Sitka when one of its engines began to falter.
When it was in peril straits, there started to be some engine trouble. And so the engine was shut off. And we have a technician now that's en route and will arrive in Juneau later this evening and will then work to diagnose exactly what's going on with the engine.
Bailey says the Columbia decided to return to Juneau on one engine because it's easier to fix a vessel in Juneau than it would have been in Petersburg. And it's easier to reroute passengers from Juneau, too.
And there was also the opportunity to coordinate with the Malaspina so that passengers would have, you know, an alternate way of getting to their destinations.
This isn't the first time the Columbia has broken down. It experienced mechanical issues in February of 2018 and again in July, forcing many passengers to change travel plans during peak ferry season. Then it was in dry dock for repairs this winter. Bailey says the engine issues the Columbia experienced Tuesday night are not connected to the problems from last year.
And the dry dock this winter, those repairs were just routine maintenance. It was dry docked for 8 weeks, which is standard, and they were renewing the certificate of inspection, doing just routine stuff like they said, painting, cleaning, inspections, do some steel repair. But there was nothing that stood out, you know, at that time.
She says the Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan passengers will board the Malaspina tonight, but they're still rebooking Bellingham passengers. It's not clear how long the Columbia could be out of commission. Bailey says they'll know more once the technician has made an assessment and determined what repairs need to be made to the engine. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also check us out on the NPR One app and Stitcher.